Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus, and welcome back, Nick Wright. Good to see you again, Nick. It's been an awfully long time since we've connected. Man, your show on FS1 is just cooking with grease. You, Kevin, and Broussard, you guys are crushing it. And I'm not saying that because we're friendly. I'm saying that because I watch all this garbage, and you got the best garbage out there. You really do.
Well, I appreciate it. No, we have a ton of fun. Show's doing well. We're about to me, Brew Wild, the three of us, full-time, in-person, in the afternoons, that was started September of 2022, which means this is about to be our first NFL playoffs without the Chiefs being involved, and our first NFL playoffs without the Chiefs ultimately making the Super Bowl. So we're in kind of a brave new world for the show as of a few days ago. But, you know, I appreciate it. The show's been so much fun and everything's been great. So, you know, everything's good in that world and it's good to see you again.
Which co-host or executive producer had to talk you out of being wheeled into the studio in a casket after Mahomes tore his ACL?
The gurney played, you know, I'll pull you behind the curtain a little bit because we had the casket on Friday. We showed it. And the idea I had was, because I thought the Chiefs were going to win, was that we could on Monday pre-tape us all like we're live, pre-tape us all at the desk. I bang on the table. You know, we do the intro. We're all sitting there, but it's taped. And then live, Wild's like, you know, we had a whole bit planned. If the Chiefs lost, wheel out the casket. They have that be live. And then while it looks like I'm sitting at the desk, I jump out of the casket like, not dead yet, boys, and keep going.
little Undertaker action, the sit up.
Exactly right. It was just stealing from the Undertaker. That was the idea behind it. They then did lose, and because Patrick got hurt, Wilds correctly thought, I believe, that it would have been in poor taste to do it, which is a huge... I'm very fortunate that that's where Wild's head was at, because my wife, who you know, saw the casket bit on Friday, the tease, and she's a much more kind of spiritual and the ephemeral person than me, and believes in energies and karmas and things like that. Well, and she was very adamant. She was like, you are not getting in that coffin. Like, oh, it'd be a bit, but she was like, I want to make this very clear. I never tell you what to do professionally. You are not getting in that coffin. So it ended up being fortunate that everyone agreed that I shouldn't get in the coffin, even if the audience might have enjoyed it.
I tell you, you know, I could see Jillian having the same conversation with me had the roles been reversed. So it's smart and good that we're both married to women who are better and a lot smarter than we are. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Look, you know, we could go Kansas City Chiefs here, and that would just be a fastball down the middle for you. I'm going to pitch you backwards. I want to talk to you about something that I don't know if you've ever really talked about in public before, because you spark an awful lot of feelings in sports fans. I know that through all the years that I've been talking to you through the Warriors, Rockets, Warriors, LeBron dynasty. You would come on my show and people would hate you and love you all at the same time. And that's why you're great at what you do, Nick. It's why you're on TV. What is the most uncomfortable, though? You have been in person around somebody who's come up to you in a controversial or confrontational way, or are people not that brave in person, and that's mostly just on the internet for you?
So up until a year ago, really this past Super Bowl, so call it 9 months ago, 10 months ago, I think I had been confronted in person in a negative way maybe 3 times ever. Like it had been... There was one instance that sticks out from like 5-6 years ago of a guy who seemed like he wanted me to like take a swing at him, but that was, he seemed off and like what, like, you know, it was that one instance stuck out in my head as like the only real instance. Post the combination of, I guess, I would assume is kind of like my profile raising to where I'm more recognizable. The success of the Chiefs, me being, you know, leaning into the obnoxiousness of it. And then the Chiefs getting their teeth kicked in the Super Bowl by a team that whose fans dating back to the first year of the TV show when Carson Wentz went down and I said the Eagles were stone drawing dead, and then they played that clip at their championship parade. That combined with my Jalen Hurts skepticism and kind of they had all Eagles fans had always kind of looked at me as a thorn. The fact that that team beat my team in such dominating fashion, and the fact that it became, you know, I told the story about how Jalen's mom had, you know, not confronted me, but talked to me the night before the Super Bowl at a party when I at first didn't know it was his mom. I thought it was just an Eagles fan, and then realized who it was, about going after what she thought was unfair criticism of her son. And she was totally within bounds. She was totally fine. But I told that story. The Chiefs get annihilated. Philly is 90 minutes from New York City. In the last, and then this year the Chiefs were, you know, struggled a lot. In the last 9 months, there have been more, it's been, I don't know, 35 to 40 times of people talking shit to me in public. Like yesterday, in the morning, this really irritated me actually. In the morning, I'm walking my dog, and some guy driving an ambulance down my street rolls down his window and is like, Baton is like, what happened to your Chiefs? And then in the night, walking my dog, some guy, different guy, different car, same street, driving down the street, rolls down his window and gets mad at me about like my Shador takes. But it's really been Chiefs related or Eagles related. My wife and I were on vacation at Casino Monte Carlo in Monaco, and a group of female Eagle fans like just talked cash shit to me at the casino. We were in, I thought there was a time, I honestly thought this could go really left, because right after, this might be too long, you know, I'm rambling, but I'll give you all the details. We're shortly after the Super Bowl, because I go to Philly a lot because they have casinos, and I play poker, and my wife plays blackjack. We went to Philly shortly after the Super Bowl, and I told Danielle, I was like, this is going to be a rough spot for me. Like, I'm just letting you know. But we went to dinner, and then after dinner, we went to a bar to get a drink. And I had kind of had found a disarming thing was, as soon as anybody said my name or said anything, I just said, congrats on the Super Bowl. Like, before they could say anything else, I'm in Philly, I assume they're Eagles fans, I was like, hit them with congrats on the Super Bowl. And most people were incredibly nice. We're at a bar, and this group comes over, and I'm like, hey, congrats on the Super Bowl. And this, and everyone in the group is like, cool. And then this girl, woman, I should say, starts mother effing me. And I'm like, oh man. I was like, the problem with this is not going to be me. I was like, the problem is going to be my wife. I was like, you're drunk. You're being out of line. And I called it. I was like, man, in my head, I'm like, we got about 5 more seconds until my wife stands up. I was like, and now it's like a really going to be a tough situation. And that's exactly what happened.
People but pulling luckily, out their phones. They're like,
right, oh, that's what I was. Right. And so luckily the guys this woman was with were, you know, more sober than her. Say all that to say, I'll give you one last little anecdote. 2 weeks ago, I was out to dinner with my wife and daughter here in Manhattan, and we were, maybe it was a month ago, because it was nice enough, we were sitting outside, and I had gone inside to go to the restroom, and on my way back through the restaurant, there's this big group, and this guy's like, "That is Nick Wright." And I'm like, "Oh, hi." And he's like, "Go Bills." And I'm like, "Oh," I'm like, "Yeah, nice to meet you. It's, you know, nice." And I go outside. And then that guy with what looked like maybe a son or nephew, I don't know, older teenage age guy and someone his age, come outside and they're smoking. And they're 15 feet from where it's me, my wife, and my youngest daughter. And he starts just chanting F the Chiefs, but saying it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you know what? I've had about enough of this. And I yelled at him. I was like, hey, I was like, man, I'm out to dinner with my wife and daughter. Like, you grow up. And his buddy apologized, but then he's kept yelling, and I'm like, am I gonna get in a street confrontation with my wife and daughter here? Cause this guy's a clown. So there's, you know, 8 minutes of stories, I guess, of it has, after never happening at all, it has now started happening all the time, which is, I guess, you know, a combination of me being slightly more recognizable, maybe, you know, not beloved, and also rubbing people the wrong way. I mean, it's the tax. I'm not complaining. It's the cost of doing business.
It's the price of fame.
But it can be irritating.
It's the price of fame, but at least you're getting mother you know what it in Monte Carlo. So it's kind of working.
Well, I understand how that story came down. It just happened to be some Eagles fans at Casino Monte Carlo.
Right.
It was, yeah. But yeah, right.
We got to talk some sports before you get going here. But by the way, I need to tell everybody, when you're in the mood for something to eat, you get yourself a sandwich at Ike's, pick up one, eat it for dinner. It's the fastest growing sandwich restaurant in America, and hopefully there'll be one near you soon. Nick, you got to order the Damon Bruce at Ike's. You'll be
Absolutely. I've seen it. I've seen the menu. I'm all the way on the East Coast, so I haven't been to your guys' actual location, but I was telling you, we go out to the Bay Area a couple times a year because my daughter goes to school out there. So I will be sure to stop by Ike's and ask for the Damon Bruce. There's no doubt about it.
Please do. Now, let me tell you, when we go get that beer, we got to go to the Dubliner West Portal. Nick, it's the only Bay Area, really San Francisco bar that has high school football helmets prominently displayed. So on that alone, you got to like
love that.
Go say hi to Kenny and John for me. Great guys at the Dubliner. And hey, when you're making plays, do it with Sleeper. Best props, best bets, great payouts, great user interface. Use promo code Damon, get $100 off your first deposit up to $100. There you go. Business taken care of. Nick Wright, let's talk about maybe the positive of the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I know that there's not a lot of positivity out there. Let me give you the positivity. Maybe this Mahomes injury actually gets you an extra season or two from Andy Reid. Like, if everything were on track and you're still playoffs and you're in Super Bowls, man, maybe Andy's hanging it up a little sooner than later. You know, he's at that age. I think he might stick around for a spite season to have one more playoff run with his boy. And that could be 2-3 years from now, which means maybe Andy Reid sticks around a little longer. Is that any silver lining on the otherwise very gray cloud of this Chiefs season?
Listen, I think there is that. And I know some Chiefs fans are, you know, they want to move on from Andy. I think that's insane. Listen, I don't think this was the best year for anybody involved with the team. But Andy is one of the two or three greatest coaches in the history of the sport. And if, you know, if they do need some retooling, which they very well may, or they do, I should say, I trust Andy to be at the helm of it. The silver linings for me are more so, there is no silver lining to Patrick being hurt, but the silver lining to this team bottoming out rather than, you know, it clawing its way to 9-8 or even 10-7 and, you know, and ending up getting clocked in round one of the playoffs or missing being the last team eliminated from the playoffs is they are now going to have somewhere from the 10th to 12th pick of the draft. They're going to have a third place schedule. They're going to have a full off season. Not, you know, they have dealt with a decade straight of first place schedules, 7 years straight of drafting 28th or later in every draft, a decade straight of either the shortest offseason in the league or the third shortest offseason in the league. And I also think, and listen, we'll see what the NFL schedule makers do this upcoming year, but the Chiefs became so much the marquee team in the league that last year they played every single day of the week except for on Tuesday. They now play, you know, this year they play Thanksgiving and Christmas and start the year in Brazil on a Friday. Like, there's maybe there is a more semblance of a normal schedule. And the other thing
is basically getting yelled at in Monte Carlo, by the way.
Yeah, exactly right. I also think that there has been an element of Patrick will fix it. And I think the Chiefs are going to lose outright to the Tennessee Titans this weekend. I think you're going to see, and I understand Patrick's numbers the last couple of years were not exceptional. I think you're going to see how much he was doing to keep this operation afloat, particularly right now with all the injuries to offensive linemen and no running game to speak of. I just don't think that they're going to be able to move the ball at all, which will be I think Patrick will be back for the beginning of next season, but obviously no one's going to know that for a while. So them having to try to build a team that could in theory compete without Patrick Mahomes might mean a real investment in the running game, might force the young promising wide receivers into developing the way they need to. All of those things could be positive. But he blew out his knee. I mean, he's the best player in the league. He's one of the two or three greatest players in the history of the league. And he blew out his knee. And it was in the midst of a season that 31 days ago, Damon, the Kansas City Chiefs were the favorites to win the Super Bowl. And now it feels like they haven't played a good game in that stretch, and they haven't. And so they got to fix some stuff.
Well, Nick, you need a bandwagon. And I want to welcome you to the Brock Purdy bandwagon. Oh, it's about time for you to hop on, man. This is a really good quarterback hiding in plain sight in front of you. Other people are getting – if I played this is the shadow. Here's a silhouette, and here are the numbers. And then it was Brock Purdy. You'd be like, oh, he's a lot better than I
– Hold on. Can I talk to you about this? So you're not going to bend an inch given the fact that we saw – quarterback that we all know is a bad player, Mac Jones, be dropped in there and look awesome. That doesn't at all give you pause that maybe what I've been saying all around is correct, no, which is, listen.
We always knew that Shanahan could coach up anybody. Wait until you see Tua become his next project, right? You know,
interesting.
This guy fixes quarterbacks and they play well underneath them. You know, you can't say Shanahan's not a good coach and Purdy's not a good quarterback all at the same time and using Mac Jones as the example to prove one or the other when he actually, like, why does one guy playing well mean the other guy's not really good? And I'll tell you, since Brock Purdy came back, the 49ers are number one on third down. They're 4-0 in football. He's got the best passer rating in football. I mean, this guy is really good. He plays beyond the expectations and what you think his limitations are. He's got more boogie on him than before. He's hitting the Dougie, which, again, no one's done since 2011. But he's bringing it back, Nick. It's happening. No, seriously.
I think Shanahan's really a story
that needs the 49ers are a story that needs more examination because none of this was supposed to happen this year. They could be the one seed, and they're banged up getting – backup quarterback starts that were successful. No Bosa, no Warner, all season long, injuries everywhere. The fact that Shanahan's not in a coach of the year discussion, I understand Vrabel's running away with it, but the fact he's not in a discussion is ridiculous. This guy's having an incredible season as a head coach.
Oh, I agree with that 1,000%. I think Shanahan is, if I were power ranking NFL head coaches, I personally would go Reed, McVay, Shanahan, 1, 2, 3. And I, like, if people want to say Shanahan should be higher, like, I'll listen to him. I think Shanahan's brilliant. I think that what you guys have done this year, despite the injuries, is remarkable. I think the point you made that has been, I think, mostly overlooked by the national media is they absolutely might end up the one seed. Like, it's they're you know, they need some things to fall their way, obviously, but they're still alive for it. And given the catastrophic injuries they've suffered, the fact that Ayuk quit football, Warner out, Bose out, you said it, Purdy out twice during the year, once for a long stretch. It's remarkable. I would be totally fine with Shanahan being coach of the year over Vrabel or over, I don't even know, Sean Payton. I don't know whom else are leading contenders. Maybe Mike McDonald is one as well. I agree with all that. And it's not that I'm saying Purdy is bad. I'm obviously not saying that. What I am saying is that if you see a bad quarterback this year in this system with this team look like a B+, then does that not then inform you when Brock Purdy looks like an A-A that maybe he could be doing that despite the fact that he is the 17th best quarterback in football, the 14th best quarterback in football, something like that? That's my whole take there. But I do think the Niners as a team have been underrated and undervalued given what their resume is at this point in the season.
Look at it this way. There come certain quarterbacks where you get to the price of doing business is about to increase tenfold, and it's walk away. Purdy was never that guy. Purdy, the Boy Scout, Purdy, the in front of the podium, Purdy is the face of your franchise. All of these things matter. We see immaturity take down teams and quarterbacks all the time. There's none of that in Brock. You will never see him arrested in a police blotter. He's just the guy that you want leading your franchise.
Listen, and he's a hell of an asshole.
He really is.
Listen, no quarterback gets arrested. Like that's not like a positive note. Like there aren't any starting NFL quarterbacks that were worried about getting arrested. Like I don't doubt that he's a good guy. I disagree with you though on the money piece. I think when you see a guy who anyone could have had, when you can get 85% of Brock Purdy's production for 8% of his salary, I do think the Niners, and now given the fact that he suffered another injury, if they had to do it all over again, wouldn't have given him that deal. But
it's
friendly.
There's no sticker shock on his deal at all. It's the price of doing business. Every starting quarterback's making between 20 and 40 million. Done. Unless you're on your rookie deal. That's the price of business.
And so, yeah, and I would have, when I saw what you got for Mac Jones for $5 million, that to me is more attractive than Purdy for $50 million. But again, I think the Niners, we disagree on Purdy, and I think this year has been more evidence in my side of the docket than yours. But the Niners being a dangerous team, that we agree on. And let me add one other thing. He's obviously not going to win it, but if people are filling out five-person MVP ballots, Christian McCaffrey should find his way on there.
That's my next topic, brother. You're just taking me right to my next topic. It is the single least covered aspect of the NFL this year. Christian McCaffrey needs to be slipped into the conversation. He's not the winner. He's not the MVP, but he's more involved in the 49ers offense than most quarterbacks are involved in their offense. And I'll tell you, if the V stood for volume, he's number one with a bullet. This guy touches the ball in a way that is almost unhealthy. The Niners have a Christian McCaffrey dependence. I really thought that Brian Robinson Jr. was going to be a little methadone. No, you know, the Christian McCaffrey smack is what they pass around in that locker room, man. He is unbelievable. And the only reason why his running averages are down is because that offensive line in front of him is a yawn. It really is. He is still... He's broken more tackles than anybody in football this year. He's not.
And he's been one of the best receivers in the league. Like if I had an MVP ballot, I would have Stafford, May, and Allen in my top three spots. And then my next two spots would probably be McCaffrey and Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett, I know the team stinks, but if he's going to get 25 sacks, I feel like putting him on there makes sense. But I think, you know, JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba,
unbelievable
is
year,
probably going to win offensive player of the year I think there's a case for McCaffrey in that spot. I mean, it's very different the way they're doing it, but I think McCaffrey's been that valuable to his team.
I don't necessarily want to get into it here, but as you know, we're going to hit Christmas, and then all of a sudden the NBA is going to come into bigger focus than it is even this week. And you're going to be looking for other NBA topics to put on your show. You have to do an examination of the failure of the Golden State Warriors' two-timeline plan. Steph is still the best player in this league. They got him surrounded with nada beyond Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. The Jonathan Kuminga situation, Nick, it's one of the weirdest things for a franchise that has actually turned that corner of competency to have gone through in a really, really long time. It is nuts, and it's actually making Steve Kerr look a little stubborn and bad out here, and people questioning how much longer he needs to stick around, and if the game has passed him by. He's deploying four-guard lineups, and only three guys on the team can dribble.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, I'm going to let you slide on Steph is still the best player in the league, because one could argue not only has Steph never been the best player in the league, he obviously at this moment is not better than Joker. He's not better than Shea. But your overall bigger – oh, one of the best players.
One
if
of.
You said one of, I agree with. Okay. If that's what you said, then I agree with you. Steph's unbelievable, obviously, and is holding off father time as well as any small player ever has. The team's not good enough, though. Like, people blame Kerr. The roster's not good enough. In 2025, it's soon to be 2026, Jimmy Butler is your second best guy, and Draymond Green is your third best guy. It's not good enough. And I thought the two-timeline plan was always idiotic. It's hard to say that considering they won a championship amidst it, so it seems like it vindicated it. But I'm, as a LeBron guy, a big believer that when you have one of the, in Steph's case, 10 to 12 greatest players in the history of your sport, and he is still at or near his prime, you owe it to him and to your fans and to the franchise to never be thinking about post that player. Like, it's all about right now, because the odds are you will never in the history of the franchise, or if you're lucky, maybe in 50 years, have a player as good as him again. So I agree with that. But I think the Warriors are an also-ran this year. Like, the power of Steph should get them in the playoffs, but I don't see any reason to believe they are going to be different than last season, where they were fortunate to get out of round one. And even if Steph didn't get hurt, I didn't think they were a real threat in round two.
NBA expansion has become a topic. I think this is interesting. Seattle deserves a makeup team. I really want the Sonics to be reborn. Vegas, interesting, but the city is not quite booming the way it was just a few years ago. And there's all of a sudden a lot of professional teams competing for eyeballs there. If there was an NBA team moving to Vegas, it would be the worst thing to ever happen to the A's. The A's would instantly be the fourth most popular team in their city once again. So that would kind of make me laugh.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Nashville, Louisville, Kansas City, St. Louis. If they're adding four and two of them are going to be Seattle and Vegas, what would be the other two?
Oh, I think if they – listen, I don't think they're adding four. If they were to, I think the other two would be like London and Mexico City. I don't – and maybe not Mexico City. I don't think they are going to go mid-market U.S. Kansas City doesn't seem to want an NBA team. It makes me sad, but it's not going to happen. St. Louis is not an NBA city. I don't think Louisville and Nashville would support it. So, I think what is more likely is they add one, Seattle or Vegas, and then potentially move a team such as New Orleans to the other city, and you have a 31-team league. That works better. Like, the NFL can't have odd numbers, because then you have to have a bye in week one and a bye in week 18. Like, you need an even – the NFL has to be an even-number sport. The NBA doesn't. You could have that easily have 31 teams. You don't have to do it in pairs. So I wonder if they would consider doing that.
How much fun did you have hosting the World Series of Poker?
Oh, listen, I loved it. I mean, I love playing in it. I love doing it. It was a dream. It was a bucket list thing for me.
I mean, your love and of poker predates LeBron. You've been a poker junkie since high school, right?
I've been, yeah, well, yeah, since I was, you know, 12, 13 years old. Yes. And being able to be a part of the main event final table was something I always wanted to do and I hope to do more of. And so, no, that was, thank you for asking, but that was a true, literal dream come true.
I got a personal question because I'm pretty good. Sure. I used to be a radio magician myself. I know how other tricks are done. I can usually spot the trick. You and I used to pull off the trick great. We would argue so hard on each other's local radio shows back in the day, and everyone thought we hated each other. We've always been friendly. But that's part of the craft, right? Making it sound like static when there really isn't that much static at all. What's going on between you and Pablo Torre? I can't tell whether or not that is static or looking for eyeballs. What is going on?
Here's the thing. I mean, I think if people listen to that interview we did, I think it speaks for itself. I think that, you know, I don't know if feelings were hurt. If they were, it wasn't intended. But if people are asking, you know, did I say anything in there I don't believe or wouldn't say again, the answer to that question is no. Like, this kind of is what it is. Maybe I think too highly of my own abilities or not highly enough of other people's. But I think that 30 minutes speaks for itself. And okay. I think it's pretty clear where I stand on it.
Okay. There's a little static.
I would say it is.
I respect that more than the illusion. I really do.
Not like and I used to go on each other's radio shows. That's what I would say. It is not like that.
Okay. Fair enough. Are you ready for my Hoosiers to shock the world? And
I think that'd be sick.
Our moms driving Nissan Maximas had a better chance of winning the Indianapolis 500 than Indiana ever did winning a Big Ten and going undefeated. Signetti walks on water forever. Build the golden statue. He is Vince Lombardi, Nick Saban, and every other great coach that you've – Joe Torre. He's all of them wrapped into one. He's done.
Do you remember Bill Snyder?
Kansas State. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That was supposed to never, ever going to happen.
Correct. But here's the thing. It never did happen. Now, what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State, taking arguably the worst major college football program in the nation and making it a perennial contender-ish with a couple years of actual contention and more, you're right, more than respectable, like, you know, oh, that's a top 25 team. That was the greatest job in college football coaching history. But he never had that team undefeated, like as the favorite to win the national championship. What Signetti has done in 2 years is unlike anything I've seen in collegiate sports ever. It's remarkable. And my only affiliation, listen, Fox has the Big Ten, so I like when the Big Ten schools are good. But my only affiliation within the Big Ten to Indiana is you. And so I on your behalf, I'm like, hey, this would be sick. If when, you know, your whole adult life being a Hoosier sports fan means you root for the basketball team. Like the fact that now the football team could be is sick is just remarkable.
I didn't know one could be happy on Saturdays. Like I never knew that. Yeah. You're allowed to be happy on Saturdays, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it's the arguably the worst program in college football the last 50 years.
Oh, that's the only reason why you say arguably about Kansas State status is because Indiana existed.
Correct. Rutgers with Greg Schiano type of thing, except this feels so much more real, so much sturdier, and so much more legitimate.
How's the wife? How's the family? What are you doing for the holidays?
Oh, everybody's good. Daughter's back from college. My son just had his girlfriend just had a baby. So he's staying in LA with them. So I'm Grandpa a grandfather.
Grandpa yeah,
exactly.
Nick.
And And yeah, we are. We were in LA over Thanksgiving to see them and see the baby. And then my wife did a little more traveling, and now we're all back. Daughter's, like I said, back from college. Younger daughter has a choir concert tonight and then wraps up school tomorrow. And then we get some time off. And then my guess is shortly after Christmas, my wife and daughters will leave me to go to some beach somewhere, and I'll stay in cold New York and work. That's what I imagine is going to happen.
Next time you're in the Bay, whether it's the Super Bowl that brings you out here, some family stuff bringing you to the West Coast, you look me up, man. It's been a long time.
Of course.
And we will hit the Dubliner, and we'll get that Ike's.
No doubt. I can't wait. The sandwich and beer. Ike's for the sandwich, Dubliner for the beer. I appreciate you, Damon.
I appreciate you too, Nick. Thanks so much for coming on by, and best of luck with everything, brother.
You too, brother. Talk to you soon.